We are coming to the conclusion of our LOL, Ladies of Leadership, Laugh Out Loud weekend. We've laughed, we've cried, we've thrown axes, we've eaten and given away prizes and eaten and given away prizes again and laughed some more and escaped some rooms and made some pumpkins. But we've had an awesome time together, and you know the word of the Lord to us last night even was God is weaving and intertwining and bringing a unity even in and among our fellowship here. And I just believe that. And I believe God is taking us to new levels. And I believe as we are intertwined and our hearts are connected, that we're going to see great things come out of this house. Amen. In Jesus' name. And so this was just a boost and a kickoff and a time of refreshing for all of those that were here. And so we have loved having Pastor Donna Barber in town. She is one of my very best friends, and we've loved our time together. We love the Word, and I love what God is doing in their life, and Pastor Daryl Barber from Lexington, Tennessee. So if you would honor the woman of God with me this morning, Pastor Donna Barber.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I got one big woo. Who was that? I knew that was you. I could tell that was you. Hers was louder. Trish, you're going to have to work on your woo. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and get to enjoy God's presence with God's people. I love it. Yes, ma'am. I received that. Thank you. I receive that in the name of Jesus. I do. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. I appreciate that very much. It's awesome when you get to give a word, but it's also very refreshing for the one giving the word to receive. So I appreciate that very much. Sometimes it kind of scares a few people off to say it, and so I'm glad you didn't. Refrain from saying that, but I am so glad and honored to be here. It has been a wonderful weekend. We left here last night with just such a thickness of the presence of the Lord, and the residuals are still in the house this morning. I do thank you all for allowing me to come. You guys, as Pastor Lisa said, we are best friends, and that is true. And she's my holy friend. I only have two of those. But she's right up there among the holy friends. When we first started getting to know each other and she gave me her testimony, I went, oh, so you've been holy a long time. Yeah, I didn't start that way. But anyway, it's just an honor and a pleasure to be here. So thank you for the hospitality, the gifts, the food. The fellowship, it's been amazing, the praise and worship, the dance. That song that they just did, that's one of my new favorite songs. Every time it comes on, if I'm in the car, I'm singing it to the top of my lungs. But one of the things that I keep taking away from that song is the final say. The final say. And so this morning, I just want to take a few minutes and share a couple of things with you. I'm going to be mindful of the time. That clock is wrong. In case you're wondering. And that's my sassy guy back there. That's what he said. He said he was sassy. I said, I agree with that. So let's have a word of prayer before we get started this morning. Father, I am so honored and humbled to be in this house and stand behind this pulpit. To be here in a house that's full of the Word, full of the freshness of God. And so, Father, I ask, help me to articulate what's in my spirit this morning to be able to share. And, Father, let us have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Father, you let it unfold the way you want it to unfold. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The church say amen. I was very excited last night when I got back to my hotel room and I got to watch the last quarter of Tennessee beat Kentucky. You know, and people come to my house to watch me watch football. Because I'm a fanatic. I can't help it, Joyce. I'm a fanatic when it comes to football. So when I'm traveling and I'm watching the game, it's totally different in my hotel room. Those of you who don't know me very well, I'm very expressive. Probably could not talk if you tied my hands behind my back. It just would not happen. So I have to scream in silence in the hotel rooms when we're winning. So I'm this far away from the TV. And, and then I, you know, at home I yell at the TV. You're like, why did you do that? You know, and so I'm doing these things. I am a complete fanatic when it comes to football. And we love it. As a matter of fact, we're going next weekend to Rocky Top. They're playing Georgia. Anyway, but we're going to go watch. And I'm a Vol for life, so I will cheer it on. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking about passion and, you know, the passion of the Lord. I'm a very passionate person. I used to apologize for that. I don't apologize that for anymore. I'm just a very passionate person. The Word is very passionate to me. Life is very passionate to me. My friends, my family, I love passionately. And so I'm not kidding when I prayed that just a moment ago. I'm very humble to stand behind this pulpit, because I know the word of the Lord that comes out of this house. And I want to tell you something. You got one of the greatest pastors on the face of this earth, and you should honor this woman of God. She has, we've traveled together before and preached at many conferences, and the whole time I'm thinking, oh, God, don't let me go after her. And then I usually have to go after her. And, you know, and then she gets up there and she just, you just walks with such authority and just lays it out like nobody's business. And I'm like, hey, now there's me. So, I'm one of those, you just never know what you're going to get. But I want to start this morning. I shared part of this word at our church a few weeks ago. And so as I was praying and asking the Lord what to minister, He said, I want you to take that. But then at 6:45 this morning, which He has a tendency to do these things, He spoke to me and said, I want you to start it by telling the dream that I gave you at the first of the year. So I'm going to tell you this really, really quick as part of this laying the foundation. And I didn't even, until 6:45 this morning, I had not really kind of put the two things together. And so what God spoke to me, and it's been 32 years ago, 32 years ago, I had a dream that completely changed my life and started. I'm a dreamer, and it took me in the trajectory of what the call of God was upon my life. And so this year, 2021, God spoke to me early in the year. He usually tells me something prophetically about the coming year. And this year, 2021, very early in the year, He spoke to me and said, 2021 would be the year of honey. So what happened, 3:13 a.m., early January, God brought back to my remembrance this dream that I had 32 years ago. Now, over the years, He's brought it back a few times and given me more revelation to it, but He said, this is what's going to happen this year. So 32 years ago, I have this dream that I'm in this is great, because I was in a coal mine. And I've never been in a coal mine. And this is coal mining country, right? So I'm in a coal mine, and I'm in one of those little cars, you know, and I'm riding down the tracks, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing everything, and I just kept going. I just didn't know where it was taking me, and I kept going. And so finally, after being in there for a little while, I'm an investigator. So I'm looking around at everything. And it starts slowing down, and finally it comes to a halt. And when it does, I get out, and I'm standing in front of a huge arched door. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking, and the door doesn't have a handle on it or anything, but I'm just standing in front of that door. And then all of a sudden, I could hear all of these screams coming from the other side of the door. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there, and it's like my spirit man came out and went over the top. And I was just hovering there watching. And what was on the other side of the door was an abyss. And it was, I mean, it was just a big black hole. But it was this whole area, and there was just, it had opened up. It was huge. And there were people hanging by their fingernails on the side of the walls. And these are the screams that I was hearing. And they were screaming and saying, help me, help me. You know, and it's just like, I mean, there was thousands of them on the other side of that wall. And some of them are standing, they just got their toes just barely hanging on and hanging on. And some of them, their feet weren't even touching anything, but they were holding on for dear life. And then all of a sudden, I came back to the other side of the door, and there I stood. And I knew at that moment that my mission, my calling, was going to be to help those people on the other side of that door. Yeah. And so I'm standing there, and suddenly, small little slots in the door just all opened up all at once. And immediately, small glass vials began to shoot out at me. And I knew that they were poison. But it was funny, every time one would hit me, it would break open. But immediately, as soon as it would break open, it would become honey. And so the honey was just pelting me over and over. And everything the enemy was throwing at me to keep me away, God turned it into honey. And I'm standing there, and it's running down my face. I remember in my dream licking my lips, and I could taste it. And I'm looking, and I'm looked down, and my hands are out, and it's dripping off my fingertips. And my feet are covered, and everything about me is just completely covered in honey. And I woke up. And so, like I said, this was 32 years ago. I was still pretty much a young Christian. I've been saved for 41 years this year. And so I'm standing there. And I wake up, and I'm trying to remember all the dream, and it was just so vivid. Well, that next day was Sunday morning, and my brother-in-law at the time was the pastor of the church where I was attending, and he got up to preach and had a little pulpit kind of like this, was on rollers, and he's standing out there, and he's preaching his word, and all of a sudden he stopped, and he walked around, and he came back, and he preached a little bit more. Then he walked around, and he kind of looked over, and he said, I don't really know who this is for. He said, but the Lord said to tell you that honey is truth. Well, I about started sliding out of my seat, you know. I was like, okay. So fast forward now, 32 years, that's why God woke me up at 3:13 in the morning and said, this year, 2021, would be a year of truth. It would be a year of honey. And God has He has unfolded and uncovered so many wonderful things for us this year. Now think about that. 32 years. 3 plus 2 is 5. That's grace. 2021, 2, 0, 2, 1, 5 is grace. So God's grace is covering His truth for this hour. Amen? So now that's what God woke me up to this morning. Said, tell them that dream before you dive into this word this morning. So hang on to your seat there and just kind of, I'm already feeling like I need to hurry up, you know, but I get so excited. I'm like, you know, I feel like I've got so much to say, and I don't want to bore your socks off, you know, or anything. I tell people, I do look at my watch. It don't mean anything, but it kind of gives you hope that you think I'm looking. I don't know. So your problem is this. She said I could take my time. Yeah, and I do preach to the amen corner. All right, the come ons too. Woo, hallelujah. This is a southern girl. We love our come ons and amens. It makes me preach, baby. So this morning, I want to share a couple of scriptures with you, and then I just kind of want to share what God spoke to me about it, and I did apologize last night for being the out-of-the-box person, and you know, but she keeps loving me. I don't know. But I do. I kind of think of things out of the box. But God spoke this to me as I was, I'm a reader. I love podcasts. I love to study. I love to hear somebody else's take on something. And usually when I'm listening to something, reading something, a word jumps out at me. It's not really sometimes the whole thing, but it's just like the word jumps out at me, and then God builds on it from there. So, in Exodus, a very familiar story that we all know, God had a group of people by the name of the children of Israel, and he had brought them out. Such a very familiar story. And so, we're going to kind of take that little journey, and then I just want to share what God showed me about that. So, let's put our first scripture up. We're going to read just a few. Exodus chapter 16. And it said... Well, let me just lay this ground. The reason why this part is in here is because the children of Israel were doing what they were famous for, and that was called complaining. And they go to Moses and said, we want something to eat. So Moses goes to God and said, your kids are complaining. And he said, okay. So if you look back in Scripture... Well, let me read this part first. Exodus 16, 14, 15. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. Somebody say wilderness. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. So if you look back up in Exodus, I didn't give them the scripture because I just want to reference it. In that same chapter, but in verse 4, when Moses had come to the Lord said, tell them, Moses, that I'm going to rain bread from heaven. I'm going to rain bread from heaven. So now, here's the issue that I see first in this. Because the children of Israel have asked for something to eat. God tells Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. And then when the children of Israel see it, they said, what is it? And Moses said, it's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. But then if you go on down in the chapter, because he's told them what it was. In verse 31, it said, did I give you this one? Okay. Verse 31, watch what it said. The people of Israel called the bread manna. They had already been told what it was. God said, tell you, I'm raining bread down from heaven. So it's bread from heaven. But the children of Israel kept calling it manna. What is it? It's bread from heaven. Oh, it's manna. Well, God said it's bread from heaven. And you keep saying, what is it? They could not recognize nor see what God was providing. They could not understand that this was bread from heaven because they could not identify what it was. And then it says, it gives a description. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. So it gives a clear description about what it looks like. And if you look up some of the things in Scripture, the word white, the color white, means purity. It means that what you're being given is completely pure. And then it says that it's bread that tastes like honey. So in other words, it was a pure truth. That they didn't have to plant. They didn't have to sow anything. They didn't have to work for it. Every single day of their lives, they got up to pure truth. They got up to a feast of pure truth every single morning. They just walked out the door, and guess what I get today? pure truth. No mixture. No mixture. I get to walk out every single morning and feast. I don't even have to worry about storing it back because I'm going to get fresh, pure truth every single morning that I don't have to work for. I don't have to plant for. I don't have to sow anything. I don't have to labor. I just walk out and God has rained bread down from heaven. That happened actually 2 months into their journey. See, it didn't take them long to start complaining. 2 months into a very long journey. We all know how long the journey took, right? So into 2 months into it, God starts with giving them pure truth every single day of their lives, nourished on it. 2 months. But see, here's the thing. We all know that their journey, like our journey, see, we don't have a destination, it's a journey, right? So we all know that their journey took them to many different places. Have I still got y'all? Say amen if I got you. Okay. So we all know that what they were experiencing on a daily basis was you moved when God said move, when his glory would come through, and then you stopped when he said stop. Because, see, there's a reason why they couldn't get there all at once, because they weren't ready to get there all at once. They had some things that needed to work out. And it's amazing that at the beginning of the journey, he said, here's what I want to do. I want to give you something that will help you every single day of your journey. So then we fast forward 2 years later, and they're still on the journey. Anybody ever felt like 2 years of a wilderness? There is a reason, 2021, the year of truth, the year of the honey. Then it says in Numbers, all right, fast forward 2 years, chapter 11. We have that one. Ah, y'all are awesome. It said the rabble with them began to crave other food. I call them the rebels. You know, yeah, you don't look at me like y'all don't know what a rebel is. I was going to say there's a few of you. I won't go point anybody out, but you know. So the rebels start craving other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, they wailed. Now, how many of you want to be honest and say, I have wailed before the Lord? I don't have enough things to hold up for that. I have wailed before the Lord. Sometimes out of passion, sometimes out of anger, sometimes out of pure joy, I'm wailing. It's depends on what is going on what my wail looks like and sounds like. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that live on my road. When I take my walk, they're not really sure what's going on. But that's okay. So they start wailing before the Lord, and they said, if only we had meat to eat. Now watch what their memory does. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. But that's not the key to that. Look at three little words. At no cost. Also, the cucumbers. And I want you to leave it right here for a second. Cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. At no cost. Are you kidding me? You were living a life of bondage. You got up when they told you to get up. You went to bed when they told you to go to bed. You made bricks all day long. You suffered in bondage every single day of your life. And you call that no cost? You call that's no cost to you? that you had no freedoms of your own? That's no cost? Isn't it amazing what a little wilderness experience will make you forget where you came from and what you came out of? Isn't that amazing? What a little wilderness experience will do. Now watch this next part. But now, we have lost our appetite. We lost our appetite. And watch what they're still calling it. We never see anything but this manna. They still have never identified it as the bread from heaven. And because they don't want the identification of what it really is and what it really does, we have lost our appetite. All we ever see is this manna. We've lost our appetite for a pure truth. We've lost our appetite. We've lost our desire to walk out and just see the provision of God. We lost our appetite. See, a wilderness experience will cause you to lose your appetite. Now watch what happens. The manna was like coriander seed. Now that's what we said earlier, 2 years before that. But look what happened. And it looked like resin. Is it possible that their losing their appetite caused them to lose sight? And in their thought, it completely changed. God never said he changed the color. But to them, it had changed colors. Then watch. The people went around gathering it. Now, that's what they always did. But now look. And they ground it in a handmill, or crushed it in a mortar, they cooked it in a pot, or made loaves into it. And it tasted something like olive oil. So what they've done, they went around and got the pure truth, gathered it like normal, but they didn't partake of it in the pure truth form. All of a sudden, Holy Ghost, they start grinding it, crushing it, cooking it in a pot, baking it into a loaf. They start completely changing the pure truth. And it lost its color, it lost its purity, and it lost its taste. It completely changed the taste. They grounded it, they pounded it. And I'm just wondering, that are we doing that now? Are we taking this pure bread from heaven and we're mixing him and we're grinding him and we're pounding him and we're trying to make him fit the culture instead of showing the culture the purity? Oh, somebody help me preach. So that they can see the pureness of who he is. Or are we trying to make him into somebody else so they will take him? Jesus said in John 6 and 51, I know I didn't give you this one, it's okay. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, I'm just going to kind of take that for just a second. So Jesus is declaring that he's the bread of life. He came down from heaven. He came into this world as a physical man. But what is happening is, I feel like that who we're presenting, the God of all creation that put himself into a human vessel and called himself Emmanuel, God with us, that we are taking him and making him look like something that he doesn't look like. We have lost our appetite. We have lost our appetite. And what we're presenting, Jesus is saying, I want you to know, if you will present me, he even said, I want you to pray this way. Give us this day. Say it. Give us this day. Now, who is he telling you to ask that from? The Father. The one who originally rained down bread from heaven to fulfill a daily appetite. The plan, the purpose, the mission of the Father never changed. Jesus said, continue to pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't let me go and pick something up from somebody else. Don't let me take what was yesterday's and make it into something that it's not. We are looking at, I've said for months now, unprecedented times. A year of truth. A year of the honey is really what we're supposed to be feasting upon. Because what took care of them, what sustained them, was pure truth. What will sustain us is the pure truth. I'm looking at this. I think that maybe we're just trying to get people saved instead of help people fall in love. Because, see, the children of Israel in the wilderness, all they wanted was out of the wilderness. At first, they were ready for the journey. But when the journey got a little bit hard, they're like, no, I just want out of the wilderness. I just want to get saved. But I want to have a relationship with you. Look, just keep giving us the food. Give us what we need, and that's what you do, and we'll just do our thing. Just get me out of the wilderness. We have lost our appetite. But you know, I feel like that not seeing the bread of life for what he really is, we're kind of in good company. There was this man by the name of John the Baptist. And one day he's out. And all of a sudden, Jesus is starting his ministry. And he's walking down the road. John turns and looks at all the people and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He makes a declaration that nobody had heard before. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Behold, here he is. I can imagine for John what an excitement. He had seen the Messiah. He had experienced the physical manifestation of seeing the true bread from heaven made flesh. And he's so excited and he's making a declaration. I don't think he went, oh, look. That's the Lamb of God. We're talking about John the Baptist. Y'all do know what he did out, you know. He was bold. He didn't look like everybody else. He didn't walk up and say, I saw this man today. No. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's happy. He's excited. He knows that he has seen something. He's waited for all this time. And then it says Jesus comes to him. He says, hey, I need to be baptized. And I want you to do that. What? What? No, come on now. This is part of the plan and the purpose. You do that. I want you to baptize me. Okay, now I'm just going to tell you. If Jesus came to me and said, God, I want you to baptize me, after I got up off the floor, I might be saying, I'm not worthy. I can't do that. Yeah. But he said, no, John, this is what you got to do. This is part of your assignment. So now we fast forward a little bit. John goes on about his ministry. John's doing his thing. And because John's doing his thing, sometimes it landed him in jail. So now he's sitting in a jail cell. He is being confined. I think he started having thoughts. What? I wonder. The scripture says he did. Because he's wondering. Now, wait a minute. That might not have been the real bread from heaven because, man, if that had been the real bread from heaven, would I be sitting in a jail? Wouldn't everything about life just be perfect? This is the King of Kings has come upon the scene. Shouldn't everything just be perfect? I'm sitting in a jail cell. He calls his disciples. He said, look, I want you to go to that Jesus guy. And all of a sudden, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's like, I want you to go to that Jesus guy. You know, perspective changes just like it did for the children of Israel when they were in their place of wilderness and they thought that they were coming out and coming into a land flowing with milk and honey and they're in a wilderness. It changed their perception and their sight of what this bread from heaven looked like. So John, now here we are in the New Testament, and he's having the same kind of thoughts. Y'all still with me? I don't even know how long I've been going. Should I stop right now? It's my time up. Okay, so he says, come here. I want you to go over there, and I've got an assignment for you. Go ask him, are you the one, or should we look for another? We're talking about the same man who previously had declared this was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. But he got in prison. Circumstances, situations, pandemics. Oh, did I say that out loud? Put your perspective into something totally different. And so his disciples, I love this. Did you find that in the Passion Translation? I love your guts. Your team is amazing. So he sends his disciples, and they come to Jesus. All right, now, just hold that. Don't look at that yet. Look at me. Look. They come and do what they're asked to do. They follow their assignment. And they come to Jesus and they said, John is in prison and he said he wants to know, are you the one or should we look for another? Watch what happens. Put it up. Without answering, you know what Jesus did? He looked at him and turned his back without answering. Jesus turned to the crowd and healed many of their incurable diseases. His miracle power freed many from their suffering. He restored the gift of sight to the blind. He drove out the demonic spirits from those who were tormented. Only then did Jesus answer the question posed by John's disciples. He never said, yes, I'm the one. He turned from their question and did his assignment. And then he said, now, go back and tell John what you have seen and heard here today. The blind are now seeing. The crippled are now walking. Those who were lepers are now cured. We'll be shouting by now. Those who were deaf are now hearing. Those who were dead are now brought back to life. The poor and the broken are given hope of salvation. That's my answer. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to show you. I think he's still showing. But I think we've lost our appetite for who he really is. He's still the man. That's the whole message today. He's still the one. He's still the one that over 41 years ago sucked the alcohol out of my system and spoke to me going home from a nightclub and completely changed my life and spoke to me in a still small voice and said, Donna, you belong to me at 19 years old. Still going into the clubs with my little fake ID that I had since I was 16. And sucked that effect right out of me. He's still the one. He's still the one that's healed your body. He's still the one that does miracles. He's still the one. He's still the one that has showed himself mighty time after time after time after time. He's still the one. Now, you go back and tell all of those that's still dealing with doubt that I'm still the one. I'm still the one. We got to get our appetite back. We got to get our passion. We got to get a way in us that we don't want to change Jesus to fit them. We want to change them to fit Jesus. We got to give them truth. Because see, that was what it was in my dream. The people on the other side of that wall, that abyss, that's what we're facing out here right now. That's what we're facing. It's darkness. It's depression. It's sickness. It's fear. It's hopelessness. He's still the one. He's still the one. Now, I didn't give them this scripture. I want to read this to you, and then I promise I'll close. Who giggled? I didn't say it. I am going to close. I promise. Thank you. I love the Song of Solomon. You know, in the Song of Solomon, it never mentions Jesus' name one time. Matter of fact, it doesn't even mention God. I have shocked a few of you. Doesn't even mention God. It just talks about two lovers. It just talks about two lovers. It talks about this man being in love with a woman, and it talks about her feeling like she's unworthy. It talks about her dealing with all of her insecurities. It talks about him continuously just telling her who she really is. But one part of it, she describes him. She gets a question. All of her friends come to her. What? And they said, what's so special about your guy? You know what she gave them? The pure truth. She gave them living bread. She gave them the pure truth, and this is what she said. He alone is my beloved. He shines in dazzling splendor, yet is still so approachable. Without equal, he stands above all others, outstanding among 10,000. The way he leads me is divine. His leadership is so pure. He's dignified. He wears his crown of gold. Upon his crown are letters of black written on a background of glory. He sees everything with pure understanding. How beautiful his insights without distortion. She's describing him. Now, if we're eating that same thing, just question. His insights are without distortion. His eyes rest upon the fullness of the river of revelation, flowing so clean and pure. Looking at his gentle face, I see such fullness of emotion. Like a lovely garden where fragrant spices grow. What a man. I said that about my honey. What a man. No one speaks words so anointed as this one. Words that both pierce and heal. Words like lilies dripping with myrrh. See how his hands hold unlimited power. But he never uses it in anger, for he is always holy, displaying his glory. His innermost place is a work of art. I love that line. So beautiful, so bright. How magnificent and noble is this one, covered in majesty. His steadfastness in all he does. His ways are the ways of righteousness, based on truth and holiness. None can rival him, but all are amazed by him. That's how she described the bread from heaven. This is what I'm asking you. You ask me what's so special about him? Let me just describe him to you. And one last verse. Did I give you Song of Solomon? Great, put it up. This is what she finished with here. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm having my moment. Altogether. Somebody say that. Altogether. You see what they did in the wilderness? They took the altogether bread and they pounded it. And they crushed it. Oh, I'm having a Holy Ghost moment. Y'all have to excuse me a second. Woo!
Hallelujah! Yep. You get it?
You know how it is when God has you. We're having a moment. You know, and then all of a sudden it just, yeah. I just saw that. That was good. Okay, I just preached to me. Woo! All together. All together. He's lovely. We don't have to make excuses for him. We don't have to change him into something he's not. All we got to do is give them the pureness of who he is. But have we lost our appetite for the pureness of who he is? That we got to dress him up. We got to take him apart. We got to make him fit. Oh, he's all together lovely. This is my lover. This is my friend. This is my lover. This is my friend. He's still the one. There was an old song that says, he's still the one makes me. Some of y'all remember that, didn't you? Still the one I want to take along. We're still having fun. And he's still the one. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Woo! Amplified says, how blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, I probably slaughtered this word. But I do pray that we get something. If you just got a bite this morning, I just want us to do this. This is the time. This is the time that people need to be tasting honey. Did you know that honey in itself has so many healing properties. Some of you, oh, I love you. About y'all, but who shows up at church with a jar of honey? What?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm really having a moment. Pure raw honey, bee attitudes, honeycomb. I messed up. I love you. Many healing properties in honey. I don't have to tell her, but if you go and read, and God showed me, he said, now Donna, for 2021, he said, I'm going to heal some minds. If they'll take the honey, if they won't try to make me into something I'm not, they'll go back to the pureness of who I am. I'm going to heal some minds. I'm going to show my power. I'm going to let my healing flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, from the inside of them to the out. Because see, it only happens if you partake of it. If you ingest honey, it heals you. If you ingest honey, it even clears your eyesight. Did you know that? A couple of you did. It's amazing what real honey will do. And that's what I pray about this word, is that we take this time now and we start really presenting the bread, and that we no longer call him manna. It's not his name. He's the bread from heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak your blessings over this amazing congregation. I love you with all the depths of my heart. And I pray that if I've done anything today, God, that I've given you glory, because you deserve it all. You are altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. I worship you, and I pray today, God, this word will make us change our mindset about how we're doing things right now. That it will erase the fear. It will erase the depression. It will take back our lives and let the honey show us that we are already free. Even though our current circumstances might say different, we are not in bondage to anything, because what you did on a cross over 2,000 years ago freed us from the bondage. You're still the one. You're still the one. And we worship you with every fiber of our being. Can we just lift our hands to him today? Can we just thank him for being the bread from heaven that is filling us and nourishing us? It's changing us from the inside out. House today. and you want us to lay hands on you and pray for you, you can come.
Every morning.
If you don't know the lover of my soul, if you don't know this Jesus I've been talking about, today's a great day to partake of the bread from heaven, the bread of life.